Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
Most of you know where I am. I'm in Tel Dan, and about 8 different times in the Manifest telecast, I have taped here in Tel Dan in front of the oldest gate in the world, a gate that existed in the time of our father Abraham. We're staying in Tiberias, which is the area of the Sea of Galilee, and these are our partners that have come on a special partners tour. And about 4 o'clock this morning, I was going through some of my notes in a notebook that I have, and I came across something that was so intriguing that I felt like the Spirit of the Lord had spoken to me to share with you this particular message that I'm going to give you. Many of you are beginning to see something take place, and there is a great Jewish rabbi in the United States that is on television, and he does many interviews on the secular networks. And he is not a Christian, but he is a devout Jew. And he made the statement, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it because I don't have the exact quote, but he began to talk about he is seeing something take place in America that frightens him. And that is that the Christian faith is beginning to be oppressed by people who live in America. So I'm going to begin to share with you a message that the Holy Spirit burned in me and show you parallels of the Persian and Babylonian empires and things they did that are similar to what's happening in America. And I've titled this, Why the Government is Afraid of Christianity. Why the government is afraid of Christianity. Now, that is not to say that we do not have leaders that are Christians. We do have leaders that are Christians. Now, some of them are what I would call baby Christians in that their faith is very new to them. They don't have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. Some of them are from the Catholic background that are in the House and the Senate, for example. Some are of Protestant background. Some would be of Baptist backgrounds. And there's several that may be of Pentecostal charismatic backgrounds, just different religious backgrounds or denominations. But there seems to be a tendency right now to move away from what we call Judeo-Christian values. Now, why is it important to understand Judeo-Christian values? Because if you will go back to the words of Harry Truman, who was a former president who helped assist in the reestablishment of Israel in 1948, Harry Truman made the statement that the documents of America, which would include the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, were founded upon the ideas and principles of the Torah, the 5 books of Moses, the Psalms, and also the Gospels. And so his point was simply this, that the documents that call the Creator, who we know as God, the documents that give individual rights, the documents that talk about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness are originally found in the writings that God gave to ancient Israel and also in the writings of the New Testament, of which the Christian faith is founded upon. Why is it, however, that Christianity is taking such a hit? Why are Christians being assaulted? You know, it's as though Christians are bad people. It's as though they're mean-spirited people. But I want to ask you, how many atheists have ever started an orphanage? Most orphanages are started by the Catholics, the Orthodox, or the Protestants. Look at any orphanage in the world. Can I ask you another question? How many atheists have feeding programs to feed the poor? How many atheists are assisting in feeding the poor? If you will look at America especially, most of your organizations that feed the poor, help the needy, come to the help of those in despair, take care of orphans, are based on Christian organizations or churches. Oh, those wicked Christians that are so mean. No, it's not about that. I'm going to show you what it's about. In order for me to show you what it's about, I have to go back to the ancient Roman Empire. Now, there was a man by the name of Gibbon who wrote History of the Roman Empire. It's several volumes. And he wanted to research the fall of the Western Roman Empire, which happened by the 5th century. In other words, you had the Eastern branch of the Roman Empire, which was Byzantium or Constantinople, and you had the Western branch, which was out of Rome, Italy. And eventually, the Western branch was overrun by 10 Germanic tribes. Eventually, the taxation of the Roman Empire became so high, people could not afford to live, and they pulled out and left. It came to a point that farmers would not even farm their land. They just left it to go to another country. They had something called doles, and we would call this today in America a welfare system. And it started out with very good intent, but what happened was, people in Rome began to realize that they could live off the government and make more money with government assistance than they did working a job. Did you know Rome eventually passed a law that if you had a job, you couldn't quit? Because they wanted somebody to work and get money to pay the tax bills for everybody else. They had what was called bread and circuses. And what that simply meant was to provide people free stuff. I would almost say that latter Rome became an early, what you might say, pattern for what we call socialism. And so guess what happened? They ran out of other people's money. People began to move out of the country. They began to move out of Rome, and foreigners from other countries came into Rome and into Italy and completely took it over and overran it. And so that's how the Roman Empire from the Western branch collapsed. But Gibbon says something else that I think you're going to find very interesting. Gibbon says that what began to happen was this. When the persecution of Christians began to cease and Christianity became the official religion under Constantine, there were so many people converting to the Christian faith that he says Christianity may have been the cause of the fall of the Western branch of the Roman Empire. Now you say, how in the world is that possible? I'm going to explain it to you. When people became Christians, they ceased to go to the pagan temples. Apollo, Diana, Zeus, all the idols that the Greeks and Romans had worshiped and these massive temples that they built became empty because people no longer served an idol. They served the true God. Now, what began to happen there is the temples began to decline. And when the temples began to decline, guess what the second aspect was, or the second impact? And that was that the silversmiths and those that made idols, and you can read about this in the book of Acts, began to lose business. Paul went to a city and so many people got saved that a silversmith got mad and had a riot and had the government, town government, come against Paul and saying he's affecting our business because nobody wants to buy a silver idol anymore. And so it affected the temple. It affected idolatry. It affected the making of false gods. Then in the empire, something began to happen. Jews, as you know, and Christians have what's called Shabbat. That's a Hebrew word for it's the seventh day, the day of rest. The Romans literally worked 7 days a week. So they wanted you to work on Saturday and Sunday. Now, when the Christians refused to say, we have to have a day off, and the Jews began to say, no, we have to have a day off, the Roman Empire leaders and governors and the magistrates began to say, Christians are lazy. And then they wanted Christians not to be hired or Jews to be hired in marketplaces because they said they're not going to work as hard as we work. It wasn't that they weren't working hard. It's that they wanted a day off. So in other words, to the Romans, the Christians were just lazy people because they felt that you should work 7 days a week. And of course, for the Roman government, the more you worked, the more tax money that they could gain. And then we have to also understand something else, that in the marketplaces of Rome, there was meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And what does that mean? All these idol temples had altars, and someone would bring an animal sacrifice, and they would take part of it and burn it, but they would take the rest of the meat and they would offer it in the marketplace, and people would come and purchase it. Now, this was a real controversy, by the way, in the early church, because there were people that said you should not eat meat sacrificed to idols, and there were some Gentiles eating meat sacrificed to idols. So Paul came along and basically said it this way, an idol is nothing, and everything is sanctified by prayer and by the word. However, he said, if I go somewhere and I'm with someone who does not believe that you should eat meat sacrificed to idols, he said this, I'll not eat a meat sacrificed to idols as long as the world exists. Now, that's not the attitude people have today. People today kind of have the attitude, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And so Paul understood this. He says, I'm not going to make an offense toward a brother who's weak, or I'm not going to do anything to cause another person to stumble. And that should be a good pattern for believers today. Now, my point is simply this, and I don't want you to miss the point. The point is, everything around Rome that turned Rome against Christians was because of money. The temples weren't getting their money. The idol worshipers weren't getting their money. Not working on the Sabbath day was a day off without pay. They weren't getting their tax money. So everything is about
money.
Now let's talk about for a moment why people in America, some people I should say, despise Christians. It has to do with Christian ethics. Now the ethics are those things that we read in the Bible that we establish in our personal or private life or public life that relate to the morality of what we stand for and what we believe in. I'm just going to give you a couple right here to help you understand. And remember, follow the money. For example, Christians who know their Bible, and if you are for abortion, you don't know your Bible. If you understand that life begins at conception, and that which is in a woman's womb is a living being, then you would never stand or believe in abortion. However, there are organizations in the United States who make millions of government-funded dollars by performing abortions. And Inside Video has also revealed that these organizations sell body parts. There's actually video, undercover video. A woman opens a refrigerator and there's 150 little baby livers. There's 150 little baby hearts and they're selling them for research. And one woman even bragged how she was able to buy a new car, a new BMW, by selling so many parts. See, Christians are enemies to these people because they're trying to teach a generation to respect life in the womb. Now, the same is true when it comes to pornography. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar business. And so once people are born again and they accept the Lord, they begin to turn those things away. By turning them away, what does that mean? It takes away the income from those who are involved in that industry. The same is true with illegal drugs. Illegal drugs, once people are born again, the drug dealers quit selling the drugs. When they're born again, they quit taking the illegal drugs of whatever type it might be. So what does this do? It affects the money and the individuals who are pushing them, that they are giving them money to sell the drugs. Many years ago in 1981, I didn't know this till 10 years after the revival ended, I preached a revival in Virginia that went on 5 weeks, that so many people were being saved. Now I want you to hear this, because a former drug dealer, who's an older man now, said this to me, Perry, you had so many young people and people being saved that in three counties, the drug pushers, the drug dealers could not find enough kids to sell drugs. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And what happened was they had a secret meeting in a town near there to try to figure out how to run me out of town and shut me down. And I wasn't even married then. I was a teenage preacher. So in other words, when you understand about everything I'm talking about, the same is true with alcohol. You know why prohibition was lifted? Because businessmen could make money selling alcohol. One man in Massachusetts by the name of Kennedy, Joe Kennedy, got some of the very first liquor in the United States and became wealthy off of selling alcohol. What Joe did not know is the Bible says, woe to the man who giveth his neighbor strong drink, violence will follow him. I don't have to say anything else. I think you know the history of the family. Very sad situation there. So my point is, everything is about money. They lifted prohibition because all these mountain people, now look, I'm from West Virginia, okay? Y'all don't get what I'm about to say, apparently. Moonshiners. They were in Kentucky. They were all over West Virginia. They had the moonshine stills, but the government was not getting their tax money. So what they decided to do was lift prohibition and give certain companies power, and they're big now. These big alcohol companies and liquor companies are big, and give them the power to create it and make it for one reason, tax revenue. Oh, my, I'm gonna get in trouble preaching this now with somebody. Now they're wanting to legalize pot. The radical left in the United States wants to legalize it, and the reason is they've been smoking it illegally for years. It's just a fact. But see, the reason they want to legalize prostitution is for money. The reason they want to legalize pot is for money. And so when a person becomes saved or born again, and they come into the knowledge of the Lord, the Bible says they become a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. So what happens is the sin tax is no longer there because they're not sinning. The money that they would spend to do evil is no longer there because they're redeemed. So what happens is they persecute Christians and they try to change laws and change the ethical side of what we stand for and what we believe because, here we go, the love of money is the root of all evil. Is everybody tracking with me? Say amen. To show you how people think, on the Sea of Galilee, there is a mountain on the other side across from Tiberias where a man of Gadara had demons in him, 2,000 demons. He frightened everybody. They tied him up in chains and they couldn't bind him. So Jesus set the man free. Now watch. And when he set the man free, the demons came out of the man and went into the swine, and 2,000 swine were drowned. Now, I don't want to get into the fact that these were not Jewish people raising pigs, by the way. These were Gentiles raising swine or raising wild boars to sell to the Romans because the Roman soldiers ate a lot of pork. Okay? So in other words, when the pigs drowned, check this out. Instead of them saying, wow, this is the Messiah. Did you see what he did? This guy had us afraid. I couldn't send my kids out. I was afraid that if I sent my kids out, he would harm him. He could break chains. He could break feathers. Do you know what they did to Jesus? The businessmen in the town came up to him and said, would you leave town? Get out of town. You're bad for my business. You have just destroyed my pigs. You've destroyed. Now, watch this. So they were not concerned with the fact that a man had got delivered, nor were they concerned that a great miracle had happened, but they were concerned only by the fact that a bunch of swine had drowned in a lake and they had lost the opportunity of making money. And I'm telling you, it's so true. That in the United States, that the root of why we cannot stop the drug industry is money. The root of why nobody attacks the pornography industry to shut down sex trafficking. Come on, somebody. It's because of money. So we have to understand that in the ancient Roman Empire, their attack against Christianity was not about Christians, because they believed in any God and every God. They even gave you freedom to worship every God and any God. But when Christianity came and people's lives were changed, they began to change the culture of the Roman Empire, the idolatry of the Roman Empire, the evil ways of the Roman Empire, which affected the money of the empire. See, today there's 501c3s, and that is an organization that feeds or clothes or a church is tax exempt. Now, what that means is you have restrictions placed on you because I have a 501c3. For example, I cannot use ministry money to buy a car. I cannot use ministry money to buy my own clothes. You see these shirts I wear on Manifest? I had to buy them personally, even though I only wear them to preach in and on TV, but they had to come out of my pocket. My phone, the ministry does not pay for my phone. I pay for my own phone. In fact, 90% of my calls would all be ministry related. Now, my point is simply this. There are people, however, that don't like the fact that I take the money from all my books, tapes, and videos and put it back into the ministry. They think that we ought to tax all of that, but the point is we have feeding programs. We take care of the poor. We take care of the needy. We have missions programs. We have Samaritan Fund. You understand? So the point is this. There are people that do not see the benefit of the Christian faith in our federal government. And because they don't see any benefit, and the reason they don't see any benefit, it's the people they're hanging around. They're hanging around the wrong people. I'm not going to tell you who publicly, but I had a Secret Service man tell me years ago, I worked for four presidents. I said, who was the smartest? When he told me who was the smartest, I thought that was the dumbest. He said, oh no, he read a book a day, but he was the most unfriendly man that you've ever met toward the African American community. I said, wow, that's amazing. And I said, well, who was the man that was not the smartest? And the man that became one of our most successful presidents was not the smartest, according to him. And I said, what's the difference? Watch. He said, because the man who was the smartest surrounded himself with stupid people. And the man that wasn't necessarily the smartest surrounded himself with brilliant people. And so the point is this. Years ago, one of our presidents was told by a leader overseas, I'm going to shut down those people who are called Pentecostals because the Pentecostals are trying to convert everybody to the faith of Christianity. This president, by the way, he happened to be a Democratic president. And if I called his name, everybody would know him. He said to this man, he said, some of my dearest friends where I used to be a governor are Pentecostal people. They're fine people. Leave them alone because they will never give you a problem. And so the man went back, and instead of passing a law to attack these people and shut them down, he gave them freedom. And years later, this former president and this Russian leader met together. And I know this from an inside story. And the Russian leader said, by the way, I want to thank you for years ago for giving me the advice to leave these people alone. As I got to know them, they were some of the finest people. They were good people. They were not immoral people. And they've always stood for what is right. Can I say something to you, those of you that may be in the government or in government positions or state positions? Stop attacking people of the Christian faith. Stop trying to limit and trying to do away with things that would be a blessing and a help. We do not want to end up like the Roman Empire. We don't want to end up overtaxed and not having the finances for our people to do what needs to be done, and finances to help the poor and the needy and to take care of those that are less fortunate than we are. So let the Christians, whether they be Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Protestant, whatever the denomination they may be, give them the freedom and the liberty to believe what they believe. You may not socially agree with some of the ethics and morality that Christians stand for, like the pushing of that marriage is between a man and a woman, the idea that an infant should have life. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason we believe it is because we believe what the God of the Bible has to say about it. And I'm going to say this to you. Let me conclude by saying we're not going to go away till the rapture happens. And we're going to continue to believe what we believe and stand for what we believe and preach what we believe, because here's the bottom line. What we stand for and believe, including you, my friend, will one day stand either at a bema judgment or the great white throne judgment and give an account for what you've stood for and what you've taught others. If we've taught the word, if we've tried to do the right thing, if we've kept a repentant spirit, the Lord will say to us, well done. But if on the other hand, we refuse to believe the book, we read it, but we rejected it. We fell into unbelief. We did not treat people the way that we should. We treated people wrong. We didn't take care of the poor and the needy. Then at that judgment, we will be accounted for what we did. So the point I want to make is simply this. If you're watching me from another country, support the people of the Christian faith. Even though you're a different religion and you have a different belief, support those who stand for the God of the Bible, because they are people that God loves, and God's favor will stay on your nation if you'll support the people who love the true God. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I have a new manifest offer. Stay tuned. I'll be back in just a moment from right here in Israel. Let's praise the Lord again for the word of the Lord. Amen.
Now available, an exciting new resource from Perry Stone, Prophetic Summit 2020. Prophetic Summit 2020 was taped live at the Voice of Evangelism Studios and features 8 timely prophetic messages from teachers Perry Stone and Bill Cloud. Available in an 8 DVD video album or an 8 CD audio album, this collection is sure to address many of the issues important to you and your family at this incredible time in world history. Here's some of what you'll receive when you order Prophetic Summit 2020. What are the events surrounding the resurrection of the dead at the time of the end? Perry Stone examines this phenomenon in Unlocking the Maranatha Code. How will the power of the kingdom of darkness be overcome and the kingdom of God be set free to reign on the earth? Bill Cloud addresses this question in The Mystery of the Breaker, Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of Darkness. Does the Bible describe advanced technologies of war that some nations may already possess? Find out in Perry Stone's Future EMP Attacks and Apocalyptic Prophecies. Have Christians lost touch with an important spiritual heritage demonstrated in the lives of the biblical patriarchs? Bill Cloud urges a return to this deep historical connection in The Joseph Factor. In The Coming War of Gog and Magog and the Ezekiel File, Perry Stone explores in what ways the symbolic descriptions of war in the book of Ezekiel could come to pass in the last days. Bill Cloud examines a battle often overlooked by prophecy teachers between Israel and the descendants of another ancient people in The War in Edom. Uncovering parallels between the story of Enoch and descriptions of the second coming of Jesus, Perry Stone presents The Enoch Cipher, Future Cosmic Signs of Christ's Return. Finally, in The Mystery of the Final Birth Pangs, Perry Stone decodes some of the prophetic signs concerning Israel, nature, the cosmos, the church, and the Gentile nations. Thousands of viewers joined Perry Stone and Bill Cloud for this timely live stream event, and now you can experience Prophetic Summit 2020 as well. Order this dynamic, timely collection of prophetic teachings. Visit perrystone.org or call 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You may also write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Ask for offer 20 PS1-CD for a gift of $60 or more, or 20 PS1-DVD for a gift of $80 or more. Your support of Perry Stone Ministries makes teaching events like Prophetic Summit 2020 possible and helps us with the mission of presenting the Word of God to people all over the world. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brian Cutshaw, and I'm the Chancellor of the International School of the Word, which is at iso.org. We hope that you'll go there and see all the amazing deep teachings that we have for you that can be downloaded in a matter of seconds right there in your own home on your computer. Well, speaking of deep teachings, I know you enjoyed this incredible teaching by Perry Stone. There are very few people in the entire world alive who can break down the scriptures the way that Perry can break down the scriptures. And I know you enjoy listening to his teaching for many, many reasons. Well, if you love his teaching, you're going to definitely want to get this month's offer on the Prophetic Summit. We have the dynamic duo of Perry Stone and Bill Cloud, who are teaching current events in Bible prophecy. Some of these teachings are so rare, you're never going to hear them any other place and by any other teacher, because the Lord has truly given them unique revelation in His Word for the times that we're living in. You know, the Bible says that the sons of Issachar understood the times. We need to hear from prophetic voices that understand the times, and that's what you're going to get in this Prophetic Summit teaching, something that is very relevant to the day and age that we're living in right now. You know, the world we're living in is a world filled with confusion because of so many issues in government, riotings in the streets, so many issues with coronavirus and other types of things. It has the world locked down. But I'll tell you one place that isn't locked down, and that's heaven. And the blessings of heaven, the storehouse of heaven, is still pouring out blessings on God's people. Even through the lens of a camera, in a lot of churches, revival is breaking out because God's people are praying. So if there's anything that I can encourage you to do in these days and time, that's pray. That is, get on your knees, call out the name of our government leaders, call out the names of national leaders, call out the names of pastors and churches, because we believe that revival is going to break out at the end of this pandemic, and we're going to see the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God, cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Yes, these are dark days for the earth, but we are seeing incredible things happening in the kingdom, and greater, brighter days are ahead for the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you continue His work.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshaw, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.